All right. So I wanted to welcome everybody to Global Math Department this evening. My name is Jessica Bogie, and I'm your host. Tonight we are going to hear from Chrissy Newell. And, I just lost my train of thought. And right as we're getting everything set up, ready to go, can you take a chance in a moment right now to introduce yourselves in the chat window? Tell us what you teach, where you teach, and make sure you share your Twitter handle so we can have some new followers and people to connect with after this evening is over.
Should I introduce myself, Jessica?
No, you can wait until...
No, okay.
we'll wait because I'll introduce you and then you can, if you want to share your background and stuff.
Okay.
We got people from all over the place. That's awesome. Elementary math specialist. Hi, Nicole. Look at all our coaches, math coaches.
Oh, hi, Allison.
I am. This year I am switching from a math coach or a specialist back to the classroom. Look at South Australia. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, my friend Jane from Julene. Hi, Jane.
And New Zealand. Look at all you guys. Great number of people in here. Lots of people from all over the place. So thank you so much for taking the time to join us this evening. Woohoo. I see a lot of new names. This is awesome. I love when I see new names for Twitter. For Global Math Department. Woo-hoo. Awesome. Okay, so before I introduce and turn it over to our speaker, let me explain a little bit about how Global Math Department meetings work. The meetings are recorded and are typically available a few hours after the meeting ends. I typically like to tell people, give it about 24 hours and then the recording is available. To view the recording, you just come back to the same URL you came to this evening. So that makes it very easy to share with your math department or another teacher or teacher friend or someone else. You say, hey, I want you to watch this. What I found when I share Global Math Department is I will share the link and I try to tell people, hey, if you watch at minute 15, this is where I found this really interesting idea. And then you'll typically find that they'll say, oh, well, I had to watch the whole thing anyways. So it's a good way to get people into watching Global Math Department. We do pride ourselves on being friendly and supportive. Our chat room is available for topical and general conversation throughout the meeting. I will work to try and catch your questions for our presenter, so don't worry that she may not notice it in the chatter. We typically tell our presenters to cover up the chat window so they don't get distracted while they're talking. So tonight we do have Chrissy Newell talking about targeted math discussions. Chrissy, it is all yours.
All right. Thank you. Nice to see everybody. I'm Chrissy. I am formerly Christine, but I'm Chrissy to you. And so I am here in California. I work for a county office of education. I'm an elementary math specialist, and this is school day number 541 for me. So I've been here for 3 years. I haven't had a summer break since leaving the classroom, but I've been in a lot of classrooms since. So I'm so happy that you're here. I would love for you to live tweet as we talk this evening. I put a hashtag for us, Target Math Talk, and then I know lots of us are members of the MITBOS, however you may say it, but would love to see at the end of the evening a continued conversation about our topic tonight, which is targeting math discussion. And I really have some important inspirations for this discussion. The first, of course, is students, right? Students really obviously guide everything that I do, but the discussion that I have with students, grades K-12, have really helped me understand the importance of us thinking about what those conversations entail for students. And so this originally started with number talks, and I'm sure many of you are familiar with number talks. And if you want to just throw in the chat window, you know, yes, I do number talks, I know what number talks are, or I have no idea what you're talking about, that would be great. We here at our county office have trained over 1,000 teachers on number talks and have seen some pretty amazing things happen in classrooms. We have seen kids talking to each other. We've seen teachers let go a little bit of always having the power in the math classroom. And in working with those teachers, we were hearing, you know, we're having these great conversations. What comes next? And so, you know, this conversation tonight is what I sort of fondly refer to as Number Talks 2.0. It's about taking those discussions to the next level. And I was really fortunate to stumble upon this wonderful book you see in the slides, Intentional Talk. And I think Allison Hintz, one of the wonderful authors, is with us this evening. I saw her name pop up. And this book, Intentional Talk, is about taking those talks and doing exactly what it says, structuring and leading them in a way that is maybe even more productive than just, you know, just chatting about math. And so another thing I'd like to kind of start with is this question. And the question is, if it will come up, as you're thinking about those, you know, whether it's number talks specifically or just mathematical discussions in general in your classroom, what are some successes and challenges that you have? So take a minute and kind of jot down some thoughts you have, successes and challenges around number talks specifically or just mathematical discussions in general. And I'll keep an eye on the chat window, even though Jessica told me not to. Are we there? Where did everyone go? Okay, so I see some successes. So deep conversations about math, thinking. Yeah, the challenges, so hearing from all students, of course. Another challenge, helping students articulate their thinking, absolutely. So definitely I would agree, a success that I know I've seen is we're building fluency, and that's absolutely why we do them. Staying on point, I saw that, Casey. Yeah, not taking bird walks. So keeping those discussions really focused. Absolutely, Nicole, I see a challenge engaging ELs in discussions, and we're going to talk tonight about how to get all students engaged in participating. Lauren, yeah, another challenge, so getting less confident students to chime in, making sure all voices are heard. So EL, Nick, we're talking about English learners. And students listening to different strategies. Yeah, absolutely. So there are successes, there are challenges, and I like to say that without struggle, there's no success. And the fact that we can have this conversation is because those conversations are starting to happen in our classrooms. And so what we're going to really hone in on tonight is taking a math discussion and making it even better. And so I posted this on Twitter sort of as a joke. But this is what it comes down to, this idea of intentional talk. So intentionally planning our discussions. It's the opposite of not random. And that's not to say that some of the best conversations I've had in math classrooms haven't been spontaneous, but I would really love for us to think about how to make those conversations even more powerful. And this book, Intentional Talk by Elham and Allison, gives us some structures for doing that. And so one of the handouts, or the handout that I shared, it should have popped up when you logged in, was some templates that Allison and Elham have included in their book. And we'll be kind of going through those. And I'm hoping that'll be a resource you walk away with, so you can have these conversations in your classrooms. And this all stems on our definition of what a meaningful math discussion is. And if you're familiar with Principles to Action, so this comes from NCTM, one of the math teaching practices is, you know, effective teaching of mathematics facilitates discourse among students. And discourse is really, you know, it's a buzzword right now. We talk about discourse. We talk about students talking to each other. But when it comes down to it, some discussions are, are more powerful than others. They give students more to think about. They build students' understanding better than others. And so Principles to Actions defines a meaningful math discussions with these ideas here. Discussions that build on and honor students' thinking, providing students with the opportunity to share ideas, clarify understandings, develop arguments. And then the last one is really, I think, the most important to me, advancing the mathematical learning of the whole class. And I saw that, in some of your challenges, getting all kids involved in the conversation. So that idea that a discussion involves all of us collectively as a class, that's really crucial to be the takeaway our students have. And I've been in plenty of classrooms where, I should speak for myself. So I've taken part in many discussions in my classrooms. And at the end of the discussion, I think to myself, oh my gosh, we talked about math. That was awesome. And then I take a step back and go, okay, but what did we even talk about? So not having every student involved and not having really a clear picture of what the point of the discussion was made it kind of less awesome. And so we're going to talk about making it more awesome today. And these are our goals. So we're going to talk about setting goals for discussion. And, for me, it was always the norm to set an objective for my lesson. Why wouldn't I do the same for the discussion that I was going to have? Analyzing student strategies. So thinking about learning from student strategies, and then that last one, leading follow-up discussions that re-engage students in their thinking. So when you've typically done a number talk in the past, when I've typically done a number talk, those conversations sometimes happen in isolation. We have ideas that are really great for the 10 to 15 minutes that we're having that discussion. And then we move on the next day to a new number talk, a new idea, and we maybe never look back at the one we did before. So I think that idea of re-engaging our students in their own strategies can make our discussions even more intentional. So I'm hoping that we can start with a number talk. And again, I saw lots of us have taken part in number talks before, and I'm wondering, is everyone there? Can you hear me? Awesome. So I've put a number string up here, and Fran's already like jumping on it right now. So, I want you to just think for a minute and pretend like you don't see all of my slides, because somehow that's not even the right presentation. That first question, 3 + 5 + 7, and just think for a minute about how you would solve it or how a student would solve it, and just jot in the chat window a strategy that you would use to solve that problem. And take a look as you go along too, how other people are doing it. Okay, I see some making tens. Lots of making tens. I see some facts we know, some known facts with some adding on maybe. So doubles plus one, nice. Okay, so go ahead and look at the other two as well, if you haven't already, which you totally have, but that's okay. So two. Debbie's working in the dark. 3 + 7 = 10. Okay, so we see we know our tens pretty well. And so at the bottom, you'll see my question, what's the goal? So if you were thinking about, I saw someone kind of already call it out. Jessica called it out. Fluency. Okay, Marla, I see fluency. I saw making tens. What other goals might you have as a teacher as you put this number talk up? Associative property, absolutely. Yeah, mental math, so getting students to think about a strategy that works for them without having to write it down. Some commutative property at play, absolutely. And I'm thinking also about that idea of just, if we even just zoom out. So you guys are calling out some really great mathematics strategies that might be a goal of this number talk. But I want to zoom out for a minute and think about, my goal as a teacher for this number talk was absolutely to think about just what strategies were in the room with students. And we're going to have a chance to kind of zoom into a class where we went and did this number talk and think about those students. But, you know, that's the goal of most number talks, is what, you know, you'll see at the top that what Allison and Elham call open strategy sharing. So our idea is to just get all the ideas out in the open and see what's there. And I saw over here, I think Pierre said diagnostics. So absolutely, this is formative assessment for you. And, you know, now we know where we can go next. And so I want you to kind of think about this problem. We're going to put it on the back burner just a little bit. And I want to highlight some of the, you know, important kind of underpinnings of the work of making talk really intentional. And this comes from, again, from Allison and Elham's book. And they talk about these four principles of classroom discussion. So these are the things that have to be in place in order for these really rich discussions to happen. And the first one I've already kind of alluded to a little bit is goals. So there are different types of discussions for different types of goals. And as we set goals, we have, as a teacher, I think we kind of keep our eye on the prize a little bit more. So we'll talk more about that. Participation, this is one of my favorite things about Intentional Talk, the book, that they really talk about participation as something we have to equip students to have a role in the discussion. Students aren't just going to automatically know what to share and how to share it. And so we have to make sure that they have the tools in order to do that. Engagement speaks to the need for both students and teachers to really orient themselves to each other. And culture, they talk about really being the most important principle. And I'm really pushing myself right now to think about the difference between a safe space and a brave space. So I'm not sure if you're familiar with kind of that discussion going on, but I like the idea of a classroom not being a place that's always safe. You know, safe implies that I'm not going to have to take a risk. A brave space, on the other hand, implies that I'm going to maybe say something and it's going to be scary and I'm not sure if it's going to be right, but that's all tied up in culture of the classroom. And in order for these discussions to happen, we know that we need to make sure students know that we as teachers are going to respond to their errors in a way that's not going to make them feel shamed or embarrassed. We want them to understand that there's lots of different ways to be smart in mathematics, and it's not just about getting the right answer. And so I want us to kind of keep these ideas in the back of our conversation today, especially culture, and then especially goals, as we kind of zoom in on what that looks like with these intentional conversations. I love this quote from Hebert, you know, without explicit learning goals, it's difficult to know what counts as evidence of students learning. And like I said before, I've had this experience, and I know other teachers have as well, that we walk out of a conversation and we like give ourselves a high five, like, yeah, we talked about math today. And then we're like, what did we talk about? You know, what's the takeaway from this conversation? And so it's really hard for us to know what counts, you know, as learning if we had no goal to begin with. So that idea of open strategy share, just get those conversations on the table. What is really great about intentional talk is it gives us a structure for making even those discussions more intentional. And so you'll see here, and I have a little bit.ly right there. So if for some reason you can't find the handout that I attached earlier, you can go there and you can download some of the templates, and then I'll show you where you can get the rest. This is a template for an open strategy sharing session. So I want to give you a moment to just kind of look at this and make sense of how it's laid out. And if you just want to throw some comments in the chat window about what you notice. And really, we're thinking about this as a way to make our number talks, still with the goal of having students share as many different ideas as possible, but how to make even that more intentional. So what do you notice about this template? What stands out to you? What questions do you have? And I'll kind of keep an eye on the chat here. Oh, thank you, Jessica, for putting that link in there. Yeah, anticipation, absolutely. Sarah, that's an interesting one, targeting certain students to share. We'll talk a little bit more about that. What else do you notice? Yeah, absolutely. So, how might students solve this problem? And then, Amy, yeah, I appreciate that part too. So, there's a little reflection piece to this. So, a way for us to, do the anticipation, think about who actually did solve it that way. And then, as much as we anticipate, we know students come up with great ideas we could have never imagined. And so we have a place to add that in those other strategies, in that other strategies column. Absolutely. Oh yeah, and the why I chose this problem. So right, that's what being intentional means. I know I've had my fair share of days where I've opened my number talks book and I've like opened to a random page and said, we shall do this number talk, right? And I just picked one out of the blue. And that math conversation was better than no math conversation at all. But what a profound yet simple idea, to justify why I chose this problem. Absolutely. And I put, a guiding question here. I find that helps me decide what sort of discussion I want to have with my class. If I'm really thinking about, wanting to know how my students might access a problem, what strategies they have, then an open strategy sharing conversation is absolutely appropriate. And we have a tool. I like to put this just right with my lesson plan, so I have a way to come back to it. Awesome. Yeah. To add that to your plans. Okay, so I'm going to move on. I want to share with you a little bit about this second grade class, aren't they precious, who I did this number talk with. And let me tell you a little bit about these students. So these are second graders. They come from a school where 97.5% of them are eligible for free or reduced lunch. 80% of the student population identify as Hispanic. 59% have limited English proficiency. This particular school has a higher rate of absenteeism than average in California, so 12% of their student population is chronically absent. And this school is, performs at the bottom 10% of California elementary schools, and that's based on our, mathematics proficiency test. So these are the kids who need these discussions more than anyone else. And I can tell you that these students, regardless of, socioeconomic, demographics, whatever, they had some amazing ideas. And so what I want to show you is a poster, the poster that we created together as we went through this number talk. So you'll see, just to kind of explain, you'll see each of the problems that I showed you previously in black. And then underneath, you'll see the color indicates a particular student's strategy. So you'll see, for example, that with 3 plus 5 plus 7 equals 15, Isel first added 5 plus 7 equals 12. And then she added 12 plus 3 equals 15 to get that 15. And then you'll see a strategy below that. That's Johan, not Johan, who is very clear to, very intentional about telling me that. So take a minute, and I'm wondering what strategies you think you see, just based on the recording of this number talk. What strategies do you think these second graders had for solving these problems? And you can throw some ideas in the chat window. Okay, so definitely some making tens, absolutely. Near doubles, yep. There were some known facts in there, absolutely. And you'll notice over on the right recording that we always had more than one answer, but we negotiated that together. Facts they know. And I'll kind of spoil the fun here and show you. I added the strategies they use here. So we had kind of a theme going on. We had two strategies that really stuck out in this classroom. We had students who would take a known fact, so a fact like 5 plus 12, that was a just no for them, and then count on from there. So it sounded like 12, 13, 14, 15, and they'd even use their fingers to count. And then we had some students, you'll notice in each problem, there was a student who used that friendly 10, who made a 10, so grabbed the 7 and 3, made the 10, and then went 10 plus 5 equals 15. So this room was full of students who were either making a 10 or counting on. And something that I didn't capture here, but I can tell you that there were plenty of students in the room who used counting on twice. So they chose two add-ins. Often, I'm sure you won't be surprised, the first two add-ins they saw. So, you know, not even necessarily using counting on as efficiently as they could, but they had that strategy, you know, counting on 3 plus 5 and then getting that answer and then counting on from there. So, you know, again, this was a great conversation. But Debbie, you're absolutely right. These are second graders towards the end of their year, and this is what they had. And so here was my thought, you know, like, oh, this is such a great conversation. Math is magical. Okay, so what now? You know, where do we go now that we have this wonderful piece of data, really? Like, we had this powerful discussion. What now? And so, you know, thinking about the standards, I try to really lead my decision making for follow-up conversations and all my conversations based on my standards. And so we're in California. We have the Common Core state standards. And I had, thinking about second graders, I had this standard, you'll see 2082 over here. And so standard 2082 is fluently add and subtract within 20 using mental strategies. So by second grade, by the end of second grade, we hope that students have really worked through those fluency levels and now they're able to have those facts as just known. And then what's really interesting about this standard is that there's a little asterisk on it, and it takes you back to the first grade standard. And the first grade standard says, okay, those mental strategies, this is what we really mean by that, using strategies such as counting on, making 10, etc. And so it became really clear to me that these students needed some support moving their strategies forward, right? So supporting them with developing some more efficiency, because what we were seeing was what I would say would be more typical of some of the first grade classes I've been in. Those were the strategies we were seeing. So that's where this idea of targeted discussion comes in. So you'll see with open strategy, you know, this idea that we're going to get all those strategies out there. And then a targeted discussion is about you as a teacher choosing what is the next best conversation for your students. So what can you highlight in that previous conversation and really zoom in on that's going to make a worthwhile conversation for your students and really support their mathematical reasoning and understanding? And so what Intentional Talk gives us is some structures for some more targeted discussion. And I love this quote from the book, "Not all mathematical discussions have the same aim or should be led the same way." And so what I want to share with you tonight is two of those structures, compare and connect and define and clarify. And so, you know, we talked a little bit about open strategy sharing. And I think if you're a teacher who has done number talks, that's like the next best place to go, right? That can be your next step. You know, number talks are going well. Now I'm going to be even more intentional about planning those open strategy conversations. And then next, I would say compare and connect. And so you'll see in the handout, again, another template to support us in structuring a conversation that helps students look for similarities and differences among strategies. So you'll see in this template, we have a place for two different strategies. And these are, you know, ideally two strategies that your students have come up with themselves, really thinking about leveraging the re-engagement of, you know, engaging students in their own strategies. And then the next line below, you'll see it says what connections are important for students to notice. So as the teacher, as the mathematics expert in the room, you know, you're thinking about where you need to take your students next. You have some space down here, again, for anticipation, which I know I saw several of you commenting in the chat window you really value. So a little bit like some five practices work, preparing yourself to facilitate the conversation. And then I love this section here, how might I respond to student thinking? And I think one of the scariest parts of leading mathematics discussions in a way that is really, you know, that really honors student thinking and lets students lead is that it requires us to let go a little bit. And you know, what do we do if a student doesn't know? And we're always going to have those moments, but this template gives us a way to at least have some, you know, like have a tool in your tool belt for responding to a student who might say, you know, something. And then at the bottom, what is the key mathematical idea you want to highlight? So again, keeping your eye on the goal of the conversation, and the goal for this, really thinking about what can we do with two strategies that we've come up with to move our thinking forward. And so this was what happened, and this was two slides, but now it's one. So pretend like you don't see the bottom. We went back to the classroom, and we took the same class, the two strategies that they had offered. So the first one, you'll see strategy one. The strategy was counting on 6 + 5 + 4, and this is so awesome. So these second graders offered this way to sort of capture what it sounds like when we count on. So you'll see my 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. And then same thing, you know, once they counted on from there, then they have that 11 plus 4. There's my 11. Hold that in your head. 12, 13, 14, 15. So whenever I record student like count sequence, or I record, you know, exactly what a student says, I put it in quotation marks. Because sometimes the mathematical notation isn't necessarily precise, but I feel like it honors their thinking. So we had that strategy one, and then we had strategy two. So strategy two was making a 10. Same problem, 6 + 5 + 4. We take the 6 and the 4, we put it together and get that 10, and then we work on 10. We think about 10 + 5 = 15. And so, you know, I took those two strategies back to this class and asked them the question in the bubble. What's the same and what's different about these strategies? And their responses were incredible. So the first one, they both have 6 + 5 + 4. Now you're probably kind of like giggling to yourself because we as adults are like, well, yeah, obviously. But that's really important for them to notice, right? Like as we're highlighting the fact that there are two different strategies here, it's really important that we help students keep an eye on the fact that, yeah, this is two ways for the same problem. The second one, I have to say, is probably my favorite. So Johan in this class, he raised his hand and he said, well, one is counting and one is math. And then he kind of like clarified that he meant like adding. And it really made me think about how different that feels for students. Right? Counting is a very different process than composing numbers. And so for him in second grade to be able to articulate that, I thought that was a pretty wonderful reflection. And I've thought about that many times since. The next thing they noticed, one is 10 + 5 = 15 and one is 11 + 4 = 15. So students noticed that, you know, after that, whatever first step you took, there was a new problem that was made, and they noticed that even though it was the same problem, like, look, we ended up with these two different problems. And then the last one, again, so simple but so profound. The answers are both 15. So again, just helping them think about, you know, again, comparing and connecting. And so, you know, the goal of this compare and connect was for them to start thinking about which of these strategies was more efficient. And I see a couple of you in the chat window kind of throwing that in. And that's a good question. Do they know what efficient means in second grade? And so with efficiency, I try not to talk about which strategy is better, because I feel like that that's kind of a loaded word, right? When we talk about which strategy is better, the strategy that's best for me might not be the best for you. But with efficiency, we talk about a strategy that maybe gives us the likelihood of an answer without as much room for making a mistake. And so we agreed as a class that, you know, that counting on strategy, you know, yeah, that works really well, but the numbers, as they get bigger, that strategy becomes really difficult to keep track of. And so knowing that making a 10 is such an important milestone. First grade is really a place where we focus on that. And these are second graders. That's where we took them. And so we had a conversation about, you know, what would you do next? If you had a problem like this again, which strategy would you use? And we did an exit ticket. And they, about 80% of the class at the end of this second compare and connect conversation, use the making a 10 strategy. And I would say before that, in our initial conversation, it was about 50-50. So we had 50% of the kids that were like counting on ninjas, right? They would have counted on until someone gave them some other way to do it. But so it was nice to see that, you know, again, we had this open strategy sharing conversation, and then we followed it up with a really targeted conversation, and were able to bring out that conversation about efficiency, about making a 10. So I have a turn and talk. You can't really turn and talk, but if we could, we have a chat window. You know, how do you see a compare and connect conversation fitting in your role, in your grade level? And so, you know, maybe if you're a fourth grade teacher, you're really thinking about the importance of connecting a number line to some fractions work. What might be a good fit for what strategies you would highlight in a compare and connect conversation? And throw some ideas in the chat window, and I'll highlight some of the ones that we see. Oh yeah, Jessica, so, you know, our kindergartners thinking about counting by ones versus counting on. Oh, and professional development, I love that idea. Yeah, notation and strategies, absolutely. Yep, multiplication. And sometimes it's not about finding efficiency. Sometimes it's just about seeing the connections between strategies. And I think that can really help students listen more closely, more carefully to their classmates' contributions to the conversation as well, right? If I understand your strategy, I'm going to be more likely to maybe use it, and I'm going to be more likely to listen more carefully. Oh yeah, subtract, mixed numbers and improper fractions, absolutely. Subtraction. Yeah, and we're going to look at an area model in just a minute. Area model is a great one. So, you know, the important part of this, it's hard. You can think about what maybe what you're dealing with right now, you know, where does this fit for you? But I think really tying it back to that open strategy share is where the power is going to be in this type of conversation, in this type of discussion. Where can we go from a place that students have shown, you know, where they are? And so I think that's really important. I'm going to move this forward to talking about another type of discussion. And I hope this conversation continues and you make use of those templates. And we're going to look at one more type of discussion. And in order to do that, we're going to do another kind of open strategy share. And I'm going to do something super brave. Are you ready for how brave I'm going to be? Okay, I'm going to put a multiplication problem up. And I'm going to have you, you know, think about kind of solving mentally if you can, and throw in some strategies. And then in just a minute, I'm not going to be brave yet. Okay, in just a minute, I'm going to be brave, and we're going to use, I'm going to share my screen, but I'm not going to do that yet. So here's the problem I'd like you to think about: 4 times 23. And I would love for you to offer some mental math strategies you have for this problem in the chat window. And make sure after you throw yours in there that you kind of scroll up and see what other people have offered as well. Ooh, 100 minus 8. Okay, some distributive properties, some breaking apart, absolutely. Partial products. Nice. Okay, so I'm going to throw up a poster. So this came from a fourth grade class. Take a look at their strategies, and then I've covered up the names of the strategies, and so if you can kind of think about what strategies, thank you, those are professionally designed clouds. if you in the chat window can throw in what, if you had to name any of those strategies, what would you call them? So the orange strategy, for example, I see Nicole says repeated addition, absolutely. Some standard algorithm in there, green. Oh, incrementing. I bet I haven't heard that word before. It's interesting. Partial products, repeated addition, friendly numbers. Okay, so this class, these are the strategy names that these students offered. So this is from the same school I described earlier, but this is fourth grade. So we said repeated addition, standard algorithm, partial products, and then I was really interested in their use of describing break apart and distribute. And I thought that was a really lovely, intuitive way to describe distributive property. So you'll see that they broke apart 23 by place value, and they multiplied by 4 and added those partial products together. So some interesting strategies in the room. And so as I was thinking about, you know, again, that question, where do we go next with these students? I was thinking closely about this standard here. So for NBT 5, NBT numbers and operations in base 10. And this standard talks about multiplying whole numbers using strategies based on place value. So we see that, right? We see strategies based on place value here, where they broke apart by place value. Strategies based on the properties of operations. Do we see that? Oh yeah, we see that. We see some application of distributive property. And illustrate and explain calculations by using equations, rectangular arrays, and or area models. So to me, that's what was missing in this discussion were visual models. And I think that sometimes we have a misconception that once students are working flexibly with the numbers, that we're done with visual models. And I think that's a huge problem. We need to make sure that we are supporting students in understanding and continuing to use visual models even after they've got the numbers. And so for me as a teacher, that was sort of the next logical step for this class. And I was, you know, as we were having this discussion with these students, I was thinking about this article. So this comes from Joe Bowler. You might have seen it. It was an article in The Atlantic. An article called Visual Math Improves Performance. And so basically what this talks about is how our brains work in very different ways. We work with symbols such as numbers on one part of our brain. We work with visual and spatial information in another part of our brain. And when those two areas of the brain work together, then our mathematics learning is optimized. And so, you know, that's a good reminder for us to keep visual models really in the forefront of our conversations with students. And I also think, you know, I'm seeing lots of comments in the chat windows about the difficulty of this. And especially for those of us who never learned with visual models, this is absolutely a challenge. And I have to tell you that in the 3 years that I've been able to specialize just in mathematics, and I've had so many moments where I'm, you know, being exposed to and learning about visual models. And I just feel like, why did no one teach me this? Right? Like I feel gypped that I wasn't able to learn this way. And I'm so thankful that we have a focus on visual models in the standards that we have. But that is a great opportunity for us to have a follow-up conversation. And so this next type of discussion that comes from intentional talk is called define and clarify. And this is definitely, you know, this feels a lot different than a number talk. We're not talking about number talks anymore. We're talking about a different type of discussion. The purpose is to think about models, tools, vocabulary, notation, and how we might either introduce it to our students or how we might clarify its meaning or its use. And so if you're really thinking in your classroom about how to provide those opportunities for your students to make meaning of these tools, this is a great conversation. And the structure is fairly simple, but really helps us think about the important parts of what, you know, where we need to go. So the guiding question for this is, what new tool representation, symbol, or vocabulary do you want to target? And really thinking about, are you defining this or are you clarifying this? And then what problem or task are we working on, and how will I as the teacher support that meaning making? I also appreciate the question in the bottom, what partial understandings might arise? And so this, you know, we know that our students sometimes come to us with unfinished learning. We know that there may be some partial understandings that we need to build on. And so again, we're back to that anticipation. We have to anticipate what that might look like. And so define and clarify is a great opportunity for you to think about, you know, manipulative symbols, vocabulary, representation. So purposefully designing this type of discussion, you know, and I think a lot about primary teachers when we're introducing manipulatives, especially, you know, really taking the time to plan a conversation with our students about what these tools are, how do we use them, what do they mean. And so for this fourth grade class, that's where we went. I decided to take back to them this question that you see right here. How can we use an area model to show partial products? So we, you know, you saw the poster that we had come up with together, and then I came back to them the next day, and this is the question I asked. And so this is where I'm gonna get really, really brave. You'll see down here, I have a link, goformative.com/join. And if you go to that link and type in this code, you're going to be given a prompt to draw an area model. And I'm going to share my screen so you can see what that looks like. And I'm hoping you'll try it. And I've never tried this before, so if it goes horribly wrong, thank you for your understanding. So I'm going to share my screen. Let's see what happens here. Okay, so I see Courtney. Okay, I'm gonna have to go like this. See. Okay, oh good, Fran. Code in the chat box. Yes, oh my gosh, sorry, absolutely. Code is. There's the code right there. Sorry about that. Okay, and I'm hoping you can see what I see. So we have some friends starting to draw their area model for 4x23. Awesome. Interesting. And I noticed there is a straight line drawing tool. So again, I've just started to experiment with this, but I love this idea of being able to see what my class is doing all at one time. Oh, look, Jenna. Jenna's got her numbers typed in. Awesome. Thank you for trying this out, you guys. And we've got some thinking about breaking that number apart by tens. Nice. Okay, I'm going to go back here.
Your screen sharing has been disconnected.
Well, good. Okay, I'm going to try to go back here. Okay. Oh my gosh, that totally worked. That was awesome, you guys. Thank you for trying that. So that's Go Formative. It's free, and it's just a great way to add some technology. I'm trying to dabble a little bit more, but I appreciate that. It was really great to see we had some different partial products in your representations. And I want to share with you a little clip actually, if you'll all come back now, I want to share with you a clip of a video from this class where I took this conversation. And I just want to frame it a little bit for you. So again, I went back into this classroom. I posed this question to this class. So, you know, we thought about 4 times 23. How can we use the area model to show these partial products? And the first thing we talked about, which I'm not going to show you, we're going to kind of jump in, was we just talked about, you know, what is an area model? What does an area model look like? And we kind of hashed that out together, and we decided it was going to be a rectangle. And so we're going to jump in to a part of the video where we're starting to talk about where these partial products go. So I'm hoping this works. If you can't hear it, let me know. Let's go here. I'm going to have to jump in a little bit. And then move a little bit forward.
Are you ready for our next conversation? I'm going to make it a little bit longer.
Here we go.
23 times 4. The first thing we multiplied was what?
12.
We multiplied to get 12. So how in my area model can I break apart 23?
Not sure what I can do about that. Are there two videos? There actually aren't, but I wonder what would happen if I did this. Turn my sound off, Amy. Okay, I'm going to try that.
No, if you turn off your microphone, then we'll only hear one.
I'm going to stop it right there. Can you guys hear me? Wonderful. So I'm going to stop it right here because I know we're running out of time. So the rest of this conversation, you know, we had this kind of closure about where those partial products came from. And I see some really great suggestions about other ways to support Area Model. And these students had built, they had worked with Area Model hands-on. They had done lots of experience, you know, they had lots of experience drawing Area Models on kind of proportional models with graph paper. Based on blocks are my absolute favorite way to build Area Model. And so we were going a little more abstract with this. But it was really awesome to see them make the connection between what they had come up with in the numbers and that Area Model representation. And the final kind of thought from this, one of the students, and I'll post a link to the video so you can watch the whole thing. He says he had this like aha moment, like, oh, that 80 and that 12, that makes 92, you know, and that moment that we were hoping for as teachers, that they would see that connection. Just a really great opportunity also to bring them back to their own learning. They were pretty thrilled when I put the poster back up of their work. You know, they were sort of surprised that I still had the poster. Like, you still have the poster of our thinking? And that was our jumping off point, was like, yeah, absolutely. You had these great ideas. And now we're going to think a little bit more deeply about your ideas, right? We're going to be a little more intentional about that. I'm going to try to switch back to here. So, you know, again, it's hard without a classroom and without having had a discussion with students to think about what you might use a define and clarify discussion for. But I'm betting that there are particular tools or concepts or strategies that may be challenging in general, usually for your students. So if you want to throw a couple ideas in the chat window, you know, where might a define and clarify discussion fit for you? And then we're going to kind of close up. And the turn and talk, we set it up for the video, but I tried to give them enough wait time that they could have a conversation. And I saw someone notice those girls as they were acting out the Area Model with their hands. It was pretty fun. Oh yeah, telling time, subtracting negatives. So I wonder about what tool we might use to support them with that. Multiplying integers, yeah, absolutely. So again, another opportunity for us to take a discussion to the next level, and that's really what being intentional is about. I'm hoping that you have some tools to take back with you, and I would love for you to experiment with planning and implementing a more intentional math discussion in your classroom. And please report back on Twitter. Again, our Twitter hashtag, I'll put it here in the chat box, is Target Math Talk. And I want to thank everyone for joining us, especially Allison. Your book is such an inspiration. And if you have not read this book, I promise I don't like get a cut of the proceeds, but I can tell you it's really changed my practice, and it will change yours as well. Get the book, hop on Amazon and grab it. So thank you so much for having me. And I would love to stay in touch with all of you. Here's my contact info. And I hope you have a wonderful summer. I hope some of you get a summer break. And let's keep the conversation going. Oh, thanks, Jane. Jessica, are you still there?
Yes. All right. So welcome back. Thank you so much, Chrissy, for sharing all that. I do have a few things I want to share with you guys before you leave, so don't leave yet. You don't want to miss anything. But I do want to say thank you so much for sharing with us. And if anyone has any questions, feel free to tweet them at her, email her, and her contact information. Thank you, everyone who attended tonight, for joining. And if this is something that you want to share with your colleagues or another math buddy, the link, you can send them this exact link that you came to this evening, and it should be ready in about 24 hours. So I do want to say a few things that we have to share. Global Math Department is currently recruiting, looking for some teachers that are interested in creating meaningful professional development for math educators all around the world. Just so you know, the Global Math Department is a group of math educators sharing what they've learned. We host weekly webinars on Tuesday nights on topics of interest each week during the school year. We also produce a weekly newsletter highlighting the great things happening in the math education internet. We are looking to add some volunteers into three specific roles. Hosts, like what I would was doing this evening. Bookers, the people that are reaching out and booking our speakers for Tuesdays, and writers, the people that are taking the time to write and contribute to the newsletter. So we are looking to try and fill some of those spots. If you are interested in joining our Global Math Department, you can use that bit.ly link. It should take you to where you need to go. If not, just copy it instead of clicking on it. Next Tuesday, so same time and same channel, next Tuesday on the 6th, June 6th, we have Mathematical Modeling in School Mathematics. It's about knowing the givens and the chosens. The session description says, even if we give students the very best mathematical modeling problems, we are not necessarily teaching students to be good mathematical modelers. Mathematical modeling requires making choices, and teaching mathematical modeling requires knowing the choices to be made and teaching students how to be, well, choosy. So sounds like it's going to be a great session, even targeting, coming after our targeting math discussions this week. So if you're interested, that's Global Math Department next Tuesday evening. I am going to turn off our recording right now, and typically this will shut down about 15 minutes after, so you can continue discussions if you need to in the chat window. And thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thanks, Jessica.